From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The United States is built on a culture of war. We're used to glorifying the soldiers who fight and kill, the weapons that devastate, the presidents who recklessly endanger, and the symbols of patriotism and chest thumping that accompany declarations of American greatness. Speaking out against war has earned accusations of being anti-patriotic, naive, or idealistic. But what if we could change our culture from one that upholds war to one that upholds peace? My guest is Michael Knox, a psychologist and distinguished university professor emeritus at the University of South Florida and the founder of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation. He joins me to discuss his latest book called Ending U.S. Wars by Honoring Americans Who Work for Peace. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you, Sonali. Happy New Year, and thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, it seems that we take for granted how much the U.S. glorifies war, right? I mean, when there are military flyovers and Americans dutifully go out and admire this hardware that is basically, you know, used for death and destruction, we don't necessarily think, oh, what a glorious thing war is. We just accept it. It seems part so deeply woven into our culture that we just don't question how pro-war our entire culture is.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't. And in fact, the recent flyovers to supposedly thank the healthcare workers here, healthcare workers don't have the masks that they need and the gowns that they need. We don't have a vaccine. We can't even get masks in the drugstores for people. And yet the government's wasting money showing fighter jets streaking across the sky as if that's a way to honor healthcare workers. And when you think about even recent examples like President Biden, his presidential acceptance speech and his nomination acceptance speech both ended with the words, "And may God protect our troops." President Trump always ends his speech with, "God bless our mighty military," or our great military. And this is just part of our culture, and people don't even think, you know, well, why isn't he thanking or blessing teachers or healthcare workers or salespeople or tradespeople or any of the important people that make our communities work and our culture work. Instead, it's just part of what we hear every day and we don't think about it.
And I'm wondering if you think that this notion that criticizing war means that you're against the soldiers is part of the issue here. For example, there are a lot of veterans in the United States. Many of them are anti-war, some are not. For those that aren't anti-war, this sense that speaking out against war is a personal slap in their face. Is that part of the problem for why we keep maintaining this pro-war culture?
That's part of the culture of war. You know, you can't attend a public ceremony, even a religious ceremony or a basketball game, even in high school, college, nationally, football games. They're always trotting out the soldiers and people stand and applaud. And that's part of reinforcing the culture of war. It would be hard to say, well, let's all applaud for the invasion of Afghanistan or Iraq, and no one would applaud for that. But they will always applaud for soldiers. And so people who speak out against soldiers are sometimes held in contempt for that. And if you speak out against war in our culture, you may lose friends, you may lose a job or a promotional opportunity. Family members might not speak to you. Or if you do things that are actively against war, you may be beaten or imprisoned or gassed or worse. So it's dangerous. There are consequences. So we need to change the culture so people feel comfortable speaking out against war. And that's the purpose of the book, Ending U.S. Wars. And the purpose of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation, which intends to make role models of the people who speak out against war.
So we have memorials to war. Let's talk about what a peace memorial is and could be. You have some designs in your book. You have advocated for such types of memorials. Tell me about this effort.
Well, the effort has three components. One is the U.S. Peace Registry, where we document what specific Americans have done to oppose war. We hold them up as role models, and we document in behaviorally specific terms what they've done so that other people can pick those things up. And also by doing it, we're trying to reinforce anti-war behavior, telling people this is good, this is something we're going to honor in the book, on our website, uspeacememorial.org, and at the U.S. Peace Memorial that we will build in Washington, D.C. So the second project is that we award an annual U.S. Peace Prize. Our founding members, we have a little over 400 founding members representing 44 states and the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and U.S. Virgin Islands. So we're just missing six states, people who have committed resources to support building a U.S. Peace Memorial. These people and the people who are in the U.S. Peace Registry nominate each year individuals to be considered for the U.S. Peace Prize. So that's our second project, to give the annual U.S. Peace Prize. And the third project would be a monument, a national monument located in Washington, D.C., that would honor these people by having ways that they can learn about the people who are in the Peace Registry and the people who are winners of the U.S. Peace Prize, as well as hear about other Americans throughout our history who have opposed war. So the idea is to make war, to make speaking against war more socially acceptable. We need to highlight what people have done to oppose war and show cultural and leader icons of the U.S. show that they also have spoken out against war throughout our history. And as you know, our history began in war and continues in war. In my lifetime, the U.S. has invaded 30 countries. We've killed millions of people. And that is not a peaceful United States. We need to move away from that war culture. And we think the best way to do it is to honor Americans who work for peace, hold them up as role models, eventually get them into history books, make sure our young people are aware of what they've done, who they are, and hold them up as role models and someone who they appreciate.
I want to pick up on what you said about the idea of a peace prize. I mean, we have an international version of that, the Nobel Peace Prize, and there are issues with it, of course, but it is a highly coveted prize, even by warmongering leaders in the United States and other countries. And it's really interesting because you have this notion in an international level that those who work to further peace internationally should be upheld. But it's interesting that we don't have something equivalent in the U.S.
Yeah, well, we do. And that's the U.S. Peace Prize. It's been awarded for 12 years.
It's not known as well, I should say. It's not upheld as much as the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yet. And I sure hope the book will make it more known. But people who have won the prize are truly people who have worked against war. People like Cindy Sheehan, Denis Kucinich, Noam Chomsky, Medea Benjamin, Veterans for Peace. Ajamu Baraka has won the award. Christine Ahn won the award this year. I'm probably missing some names. Kathy Kelly.
Many of them, I should say, are people we've interviewed on our program at various times. Medea Benjamin, I understand, is one of them, a regular guest on this program. These are people. Go ahead.
Kucinich, David Swanson, Denis Kucinich, Chelsea Manning. I mean, these are, some of them are household names and others are not, but these are role models whose work can be reviewed in the U.S. Peace Registry, which is part of the book. Medea Benjamin, for example, there are four pages dedicated to her work, and people can can look at that. They can look at it online in the EPUB, and they can actually click on links and hear her speeches, read her articles, see her in action, and she can become a role model in that way.
So we have a situation here in this country where there are plenty of people who work for peace, plenty of people opposing war, organizing against war. They are not, most of them, household names. They are often seen as troublemakers by the powers that be, and those include the mainstream media, which then filters into the American public at large. And so this culture of celebrating peacemakers, who are sadly the ones seen as the troublemakers rather than the ones working to end violence, what is the way to make that culture of peace a more solid idea? Is this something that that can be done through private efforts? Do we need to infuse it into our government, pushing elected officials to back efforts or taxpayer-funded efforts to, say, you know, back the peace memorial, et cetera?
No, I don't think government back, because the government is not really anti-war and never has been. So we have founding members, people who have made donations. We have donations ranging from $100 to $35,000. Fundraising needs to pick up, but having the monument so that people can see and read about and learn about these cultural icons is a way to elevate and change our culture. In my lifetime, I've seen the civil rights movement make significant changes. And during that time, early on, the people who were advocating and agitating and being activists for civil rights were considered pariah. They were considered criminals. They were beaten by the police. Many people thought that they were troublemakers. Most people thought they were troublemakers. But nowadays, the civil rights leaders are held up in great esteem and are held up as role models. And I think the same thing can happen regarding war, because the Defense Department and the CIA are burning through billions of dollars every year in order to kill people. And we have needs in healthcare, we have needs in disease prevention and control and education and climate change. We have all kinds of needs in this country and that require these funds. And I think it is possible to make a cultural change that will allow us to start focusing more on peaceful things rather than killing people in foreign countries. And incidentally, the people that we kill are mostly poor people. They have no means to defend themselves, and there's no reason to suspect that these people would ever be in a position to attack the United States. And yet we kill them every day. And the Council on Foreign Relations came up with a number of over 26,000 bombings that we conducted in Obama's last year, 2016, killing people in seven different countries.
And this is, of course, a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Yeah, a Nobel, exactly, getting back to that. So when you think about it, I mean,
and of course, 26,000, Trump too escalated wars greatly. There's no question about that.
Yeah, we don't get the data about that as easy as it was to come by. But during 2016, that was three bombs dropped every hour, 24 hours, 7 days a week, essentially on poor people. And these are predominantly Muslim nations that we were bombing. And if any other country did that, that would be labeled as genocide. We need to get more information to Americans about what our government is doing and who is working against it. And I think it will naturally happen that the people who are working against it can start being elevated in our society to be considered the true heroes that they are.
So there is some information about what Trump did. He tripled the pace of the U.S. bombing of Afghanistan when he first took office. And last year, or rather in 2019, he dropped a record number of bombs on Afghanistan, increasing civilian death tolls. So unfortunately, the warmongering tends to be a bipartisan project. Now, I want to pick up on what you were saying earlier around linking the funding for wars to the lack of funding for human needs. Right here in the United States, we've just had in the last few weeks a very easy, you know, two-party vote on a defense appropriations bill that threw hundreds of billions of dollars at our Defense Department, but couldn't come to an agreement on just basic and not even adequate enough $2,000 checks for Americans. And we have seen the pace of vaccination inordinately slow as thousands of Americans die every day from the COVID-19 virus, hospitals overwhelmed. How much could it help change the culture of war by linking the cost of war to the lack of funding for human needs?
Well, many of the people we honored do just that. And I think that's exactly what we have to do. We have to continually expose this. And it's very hard to do because a lot of the killing, maybe 30 to 40% of the killing we do overseas, is done by the CIA. And their budget is hard to understand what that even is. And it seems to be unlimited. And I think Americans need to be more aware of what their government is doing in their name. When I was growing up, I was born exactly 9 months to the day after the U.S. bombed Nagasaki. And when I was growing up in school, we often talked about how could the German people have let these atrocities occur, the invasion of countries, the genocide. We often discussed that in classes. And, you know, we couldn't understand it. And now I see the American people just sitting back and letting their government do pretty much exactly the same thing. As I say, we've invaded 30 impoverished countries with no ability to fight back in my lifetime. We've killed millions of people. We're involved in genocide at this moment, as far as I'm concerned. And yet the American people stand there and they elect the same kind of people. They elect Democrats and Republicans who are great supporters of war. And that continues, and we need to call attention to that. And so what I want to do is to honor, recognize, and make role models of the people who have the courage to speak out against that, in hopes that we can increase the number of people that speak out against it, just like happened during the Civil Rights Movement. It's suddenly unacceptable to do what the United States was doing.
I want to go back to what we started our conversation with, which is that because the soldiers themselves are upheld as personifications of war, speaking out against war is seen as being anti-veteran, anti-soldiers, you know, insulting the troops. I'm wondering how that conversation can change. I mean, of course, one way is by upholding the veterans themselves who are anti-war. But in general, I'm wondering if you think that there's a way for us to talk about our anti-war sentiments while making clear that it's not about the individuals who are sent to fight the wars.
Well, and this culture is very difficult to do. I personally think that Veterans for Peace, and there are three or four other really strong anti-war groups that are made up of veterans, that their story is the story that that we need to have told. And Veterans for Peace was the winner of the U.S. Peace Prize several years ago, and one of the groups we honor. And I think it's more important that these veterans talk about it. I've spoken at the annual conference of Veterans for Peace three times, and the audience was 400 to 500 people each time. There are a lot of veterans who are opposing the current wars and are frankly ashamed of their participation in previous wars. And they are trying to share this with young people. And that's what they need to do. And I think that many of the people that go into the military are looking for education, they're looking for a job. They're not looking to kill people, and they're being trained and essentially brainwashed to become soldiers that aren't too concerned about killing people.
And of course, bringing that up to a pro-war veteran may end up just alienating them, telling them they've been brainwashed. But
because if you think of things, they have great healthcare and they have great educational programs, and they have all kinds of incentives, financial incentives, right, for the soldiers at the lowest levels. They're paid very well compared to other jobs available. And when you think about that, that tells us what we need is healthcare for all Americans. What we need is free college education for all Americans. We can give other opportunities for these people rather than becoming soldiers. And we can let the Veterans for Peace talk to the people and try to convince them that war is not the answer.
Finally, are there other countries where a culture of peace has been fostered successfully that can offer a model for the United States?
Well, it's interesting. I've had lots of contacts from Latin America and from Europe asking how we can be a model for that, the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation, because they're facing the same thing. But if you look at all the countries in the world, at 200 plus countries in the world, very few of them have invaded other countries. It's a handful compared to the 200. So I can't say they have a culture of peace, but they are not invading their neighbors' countries and dropping bombs on their people. The United States is in a rare group. We're the country with the most nuclear weapons. We're the only country that's used them. We use chemical weapons all the time. Napalm, Agent Orange, and many others, gases. And we are the leader in these wartime things. And yet, the American people continue to fund it.
Michael, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find out more about your work in addition to reading the book that you've written, Ending U.S. Wars?
Yeah. Well, uspeacememorial.org, without the periods, just uspeacememorial.org. On the homepage, they'll see a cover of the book. They can click on that and they can purchase. They'll tell them what bookstores and online have the book. Just about every bookstore in the world has access to it at this point.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to that website from our site later today. Good luck with the book.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Michael Knox, a psychologist and distinguished university professor emeritus at the University of South Florida and the founder of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation. We've been discussing his new book, Ending U.S. Wars by Honoring Americans, Work for Peace. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.